Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Trust the Process Show. I'm your host. This is Chris Reed. For those that are just joining us here on Trust the Process Show for the first time, this is a podcast where I connect with men and women around the world who have achieved and are doing remarkable things. I take the time to uncover and to learn more about what their story is. There's one thing to identify what we do, but we often don't listen too much of why we do things and how we do things. And this is a podcast where I take the time to learn more about the stories and celebrate the stories of my guests to find out what led them to creating this process that's allowed them to do what they've done. Today is the final episode of the 2019 campaign here on the show. I can't believe the year is almost over, and I'm really, really, truly excited to give you this episode today. I wanted to save this episode to end the year off because this guest is, I got to think, one day maybe President of the United States. I said this in the episode. You'll hear more in just a moment. But this young man is 17 years old. His name is Ruquan Brown, residing out of Washington, D.C. He is a senior out of Benjamin Banneker. Because of Benjamin Banneker not having a football team, he also is the captain out of the Theodore Roosevelt High School, where he helped lead that team to a 2017 state championship. I saw an article on Ruquan on CNN.com, and that's what sparked my interest to reaching out to this young man, because it's one thing to, you know, have these great achievements with sports, but what really stood out is what's happening on the other side with academics. He's received 25 scholarships from not just any schools. We're talking Harvard, Princeton, Yale. And aside from just crushing it in the academics, what he's doing for his community and what he's trying to achieve for the country is to end gun violence. And if we've watched the news, we know that there's a major problem happening right now with gun violence. And Ruquan has faced it firsthand. He lost one of his best friends and teammates to gun violence. He lost his stepfather to gun violence. And this all pushed him to taking this energy and taking this adversity into doing something extremely difficult but positive, in trying to spread love and creating a society that doesn't have this happen anymore. It's led him to starting his own apparel company called Love One, where he donates proceeds to a program that buys back illegal guns off the streets. This young man defines what true leadership is, and I promise you, after listening to this episode, you will be as certain as I am that how this young man is going to change the world. So before I dive into this episode number 44, if you haven't done so yet, please take 30 seconds to subscribe to the show. Leave me a comment and a review as well on Apple Podcasts. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I have for you a great episode with Mr. Ruquan Brown. Enjoy. Welcome to Trust the Process Show. I'm your host, Chris Reed. Today, I'm really excited actually to be joined by an incredible young man who's joining me from Washington, D.C. His name is Ruquan Brown. He's a 17-year-old high school senior from Benjamin Banneker, also the captain of the football team at Theodore Roosevelt High School. He's won the state championship. He's got 25 university offers from places including Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. He's the founder of Love One, an apparel company that donates its proceeds to helping end gun violence, and a very big advocate against gun violence. That's a lot for a young 17-year-old man. Welcome to the show, Ruquan.
Thank you so much. I'm overwhelmingly excited, elated, and everything else to be spending my break just kind of investing in our futures.
You know, I saw your I don't know if it was a CNN, I think it was a CNN article that came up on one of my social feeds, and I stopped to open it because I love people that are trying to do something that's bigger than them. I think, and in service to others, I think that really comes down to like what our core purpose is on this world. And I think it gets very clouded, especially now in the world of social and the desire that success equals the accumulation of things. So when your story came out, it really is not about you. It's about everyone else. So talk to me a bit about, I know I kind of did a high level intro of the things you've accomplished. And again, I'm just coming back to my last statement. It's not about, that doesn't define who you are. So maybe you can tell a little bit people about who Roquan is. Tell us about yourself and kind of leading up to where you are in this current state today.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you acknowledging that. What I have accomplished and where I am is, and where I'm going especially, isn't about me, but it's about the people who have invested in me, and even the people who haven't. It's about the people that that can appreciate the likes of my story and how it can motivate and inspire other people to be great. I was born in Seattle, Washington, with both of my parents. And then a few years later, I moved to Texas, where I developed a love for football. And I met my stepdad there. And my parents have always just kind of instilled the importance of school. So I wouldn't be able to go to football practice unless I had finished my homework and things like that, which just kept me motivated to make sure that I was knocking out the academic part, which now puts me in a position to be able to go to Harvard or Yale or Princeton for free. So it's super amazing seeing the work that my parents put in, because even younger than that, my dad was reading books to me in the womb. So just to see that my parents understood the importance of academia and it paying off to this level has been really crazy. But I moved to Dallas when I was about 5 or 6 years old and developed a love for the game of football. And then I moved to D.C. when I was 10. And D.C. has served as sort of like a microwave, right? Everything was prepared as far as me, but coming to DC kind of helped culminate and make who you see today. I've learned so much just about family, about protection, about the importance of your village and everything else being here in DC. So I'm very thankful for all the parts of my journey. But I have to give glory to God first, and definitely my family as well, because my family has been super, super amazing, and they didn't quit on me when it looked rough, when I wasn't getting good grades and when I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. They kept encouraging me, and they stayed on me to make sure that I could get to where I am and get to where I'm going.
Man, that's I'm just listening to that and just kind of picturing this kind of everything starting for you, and your family sounds incredible. And I think that is really the foundation, it sounds like, of what's been built for you. They give you this massive amounts of positivity, and you can see that now coming through what you're doing. Do you have any brothers or sisters, or were you the only child, or what did that kind of situation look growing up?
So I have 8 siblings. So I have an older brother.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So you got some family.
Man, I love my family. And I'm thankful to have so many people connected to my family, because when I think about my legacy, when I think about my family's legacy, it'll just be that much greater because we have so many people that are get to be great. My older brother, he lives in California. So pretty much all of my family is spread out. My older brother's in California. Okay. Four younger sisters and three younger brothers. So only one of my brothers is here in DC with me. Okay. And then my other brother is there in California, and the rest of my siblings are in Texas.
So for just kind of being the holiday season, are you guys getting together, or how often do you find you guys get together as a whole? Because that's a lot of coordination if that's spread out across the country, I'm sure.
It is. We pretty much do holidays and things like that. My family just went on a cruise a couple months ago in October, I think, where I wasn't able to go, but that was an opportunity for everybody to kind of come together. Christmas holiday, New Year's, that kind of thing, we'll always get together. And then signing day is coming up in early February, so the family will be here for that. So it'll be good.
So with your brothers and sisters, are they all as driven as you, or are you finding yourself, because you're the second oldest, I'm looking at the, just doing the kind of timeline here on my piece of paper, how much of what you're doing, I should go back and say, how much of what you're doing do you feel is maybe helping them create a really positive path? Are you quite a role model with everything that you've accomplished and that you're on mission for? How does that work with your brothers and sisters?
Yeah, man, I call my siblings my babies, because the joy that I get when I'm talking about them or when I'm thinking about them is just overwhelming, because I know part of the reason why I am who I am is because I had role models. I have a cousin named Khalil Shabazz, who plays for the University of San Francisco men's basketball. He's doing an outstanding job there. And I have a cousin who's at Alaska playing, his brother who's at Alaska playing basketball as well. And those guys, when I was a kid, they didn't have to say anything to me. They just led by example, and they did everything their mom asked them to do. And they made sure to be the best on their athletic teams and did the extra training and everything else. And so I remember what it was like having a positive role model. So when I think about my siblings, who I call my babies, mm-hmm. when I think about my babies, I can't help but know that everything I'm doing, they're watching. So I have to be very careful even how I respond to my mom, even though if it was just me and her, it would be perfectly fine. Even some of the smallest things can influence the way that my siblings behave. But I know for a fact that my siblings are inspired. I'll give you an example. There was another podcast that I was on, and my sister and my mom were listening to it together. And I was elaborating how when I was a kid, I would always, before I could go outside in the summertime, I would always have to finish a couple pages in like an academic workbook.
Okay.
And now my mom has done the same thing for my sister. And so in order for my sister to get her day started doing what she wants to do, she has to knock out some of those pages in the workbook. My sister doesn't understand why she's doing it. But when I was elaborating on that same story in the other podcast, my sister was able to sit there and tell my mom, wow, now it makes sense for me. My sister's only 7 years old, but now it makes sense for me, mom, because I see where my brother is. That's where I want to be. And if this is what I have to do to get there, then I'm going to do it. And so it almost brings me to tears to hear a 7-year-old kid say that and be so serious and so understanding about it. And so I know that what I'm doing is inspiring my babies, and that's what makes me most excited.
Your parents sound absolutely amazing. Like the way, just talking to you, no, I'm serious, man. Like the way you represent yourself, you have this such a maturity and focus and discipline, right? And I think a big thing I'm hearing is this, like, real ownership to your actions, and how, not only just how your actions can affect yourself, but really it goes, I think this is like the real form of true leadership as well. And just want to tip my hat to you, is that you're thinking also about how do your actions then affect, what's the ripple effect to the people around you that look to you. And you do stand, it sounds like, being, you know, being a captain on a football team. I believe that I read you're also the president of the high school, is that correct? Yeah, too?
That's right.
So you got a lot of people looking up to this guy going, you know, so for you, when did that moment ever come in? Is that coming from your parents? Or I'm trying to think back when I was like, I was 17, and I'm going back to even when I was like 13, 14, there was days that I hated doing schoolwork. What are those moments like for you? Or are you just straight like this all the time? Or what are those moments that come up when you're just like, man, I'm tired? What happens there? And how have you learned or taught yourself to get through those moments of where you don't want to maybe necessarily do something, but you know you probably should?
It goes back to my babies, like I said. It's them, because I know if I had quit when I wanted to quit, then my sister wouldn't have been able to tell my mom how much she appreciates everything she's doing for her. So it's as simple as that, man. It's tough, but at the same time, when you think about the amount of people that I get to impact, it's not that bad, right? Because I know my siblings want to be great, but I think they're only going to be great as they know they can be. Mm-hmm. And so I have to just keep fighting for them. I hate school, to be honest with you.
Because I appreciate your honesty, man.
In my experience, school doesn't allow you to be yourself.
Right.
And school doesn't allow you to really flourish and attack your purpose. Mm. That's what makes me so excited about college. So I won't say I hate school, but I will say that I dislike my public school experience.
Okay.
And I'm excited to go to college so that I can be myself, so that I can flourish, so that I can really pursue my purpose. Sometimes I dread going to school, to be honest.
Okay.
And I've done better at times than others. But like I said, it's about how can I make it easier for my parents as much as possible. Now, I know I'm human and I definitely have mercy on myself, but how can I make it easier for my parents, like my sister, my brothers and my sisters, if I bring home a 4.0 GPA, 1320 SAT, and then my parents are sending my babies to SAT prep or making them do extra homework, they have an example that this is what we expect because here's your older brother and here's what we've done. If I'm performing below average or at average, then that's the expectation and that's what they're going to do or a little bit less. So when I want to quit, I think about those people. The things that inspire me most are outside of the classroom. That classroom to me, like I said, doesn't positively impact the growth that I think is necessary to make positive and impactful change. So the stuff that inspires me most is in my business and is why I'm excited about college because I can align pretty much the curriculum that I choose, right, with the path that I see God putting me on. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, you know, and after I asked that question, I wrote down one word and I really wanted to see where it came and I wrote down purpose. And I think when people can define what their true purpose is, I feel, and this doing this show and interviewing a lot of people, when that purpose is defined, kind of going back to what I said earlier, there's like these external barriers that'll come our way. But I feel like once that purpose is truly defined, you can see it. Doesn't matter what's really getting your way because you're just going to get over that hurdle, deal with that, and keep moving forward. How would you describe what your purpose is? What is, so if someone said, hey, Rue, what's your purpose? How do you answer that?
That's funny. I'm reading Matthew 23 last night, and Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. Jesus is talking to some pretty ordinary people about the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are leaders. They're religious leaders who are teaching these people the ways of Christ. However, they're being hypocritical and they're not actually following the ways of Christ. And so Jesus elaborates that our purpose as Christians is to encourage and to love and to really save those hypocrites because consequences of that, of hypocrisy are immense. So for me, it's just leading by example. My purpose is just to do the right thing as much as I can to influence people to do the same. So it's so wide, right? My purpose is to love and love conquers all. So it's an elaborate purpose, man. And it's one that I'm still searching for every day. It's one that I'm still reaching. And I do, though, wake up every single day knowing that I want to inspire people, really knowing that I'm going to inspire people, knowing that I'm going to make a difference each and every day. And that's been before my brand. That's been before 25 offers. That's been the way it is because that's what my parents have taught me, right? It has never been about Ruquan 100%. I was the only child for a long time as far as being with my mom. And even then, my parents were teaching me how can I use being one of the most talented kids on my team. It was like, I thought that I was the stuff and there was no need to have any concern for anyone else. But my parents taught me at a very young age, it's important to respect and appreciate everyone who adds value to the team. And I think that's kind of what encourages me now is everyone has something to contribute. So how can I, even if I'm not literally pulling it out of them, how can I show them something that might be able to pull that out of them?
Man, you said a few things there that's really kind of sat with me very well. And I don't know if you notice this, but the language you use, I think, is so powerful. And what I mean by that is you said you wake up knowing that you were going to inspire people, knowing. It's a huge difference to hear someone like you say they know they're going to do this versus someone who goes, I'm going to try or I want to. I think that's powerful, man. And I think that's really showing up into what you're doing is this, it's a full commitment, regardless of what's coming to you.
Oh yeah, 100%, man. 100%. I won't be denied. And love won't be denied at the end of the day. And that's what's in me. That's what's around me. That's what I'm encompassed in. And so you can maybe turn me away or whatever it might be, right? But we're not going to stop because, like you said, once you find your purpose, you won't stop.
So you have this true, like, one of the key elements of your purpose is, like, you mentioned that word love. And I absolutely love this myself because I feel like as humans, we have the ability to make this world great. And it starts with ourselves and the people around us. You've now, so here's a guy I see talking to that has this, embodies this daily. And then I read about you taking some pretty big hits in terms of losing your really good friend and losing a stepfather that was very instrumental to helping distill these values in your life. So that is truly the opposite of what your purpose is. How does that conflict and seeing that side of the world really firsthand, how does that affect you at such a young age?
Well, to be honest, it can be tough. When my brother was killed in 2017, there were a couple other teens in the city that in DC that were killed around that time, actually that same week. I remember walking home and I could only really question why, right? And there were two whys. There was a why and there was a why not. The first why was, why my friends, right? Why these people who are not bothering anybody, right? Minding their business. My teammate was at the bus stop when he was killed. Another young man was on his way home when he was killed. Another young woman was driving in the city when she was killed. And these are people who are in the midst of doing anything crazy. They're not. These are people who are trying to reach positive goals. Why them? Mm-hmm. The next question becomes, why not me? Mm-hmm. Because I am just like them. I live in the same neighborhood. I go to high school. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do in school. I'm positively impacting people. I'm leaders on my team. I'm a leader in my family, just like these people. So why not me? And so that's what encouraged me to do something different, because I can wait and let it happen to me, or I can be proactive and make sure that it doesn't happen to me, or do my best to make sure it doesn't happen to me or anyone else. And so it's tough. I remember calling my mom that weekend, walking home, and I couldn't do anything but cry, right? And ask why and why not? Because it really doesn't make any sense. There's no formula to put together or anything like that to make it make sense. It's unbearable. It's hard to describe, but it's definitely tough. And I think me having such an amazing village, such an amazing team, and my grandparents and my parents that keep me encouraged, my mentors that keep me encouraged, my friends that keep me encouraged, it's not ridiculously hard because I have a team. But I know that another thing that inspires me is to work for the people that don't have that family or that team. And building this brand is allowing me to welcome more people into our family. That way people know that they're loved through the midst of their struggles.
Thanks for being honest and just, you know, vulnerable to how you were in those moments. Just curious, you know, you mentioned calling your mom, and your mom's been so, like, she also lost someone too, right? So someone like that, who she also lost her husband, your stepfather, What does she tell you in a moment like that? Because what I hear about your mom and your father is this: they've not given you everything, but they've certainly given you everything you can to be this person that you've become. So what does she tell you in this situation? Or what do you even tell her in this situation? Who's someone who's probably, it sounds like, has been this absolute rock and pillar in your life.
Oh yeah. Nah, my mom is the truth. And like, I can't even, I feel like a lot of black boys love their mom to the extent that I'm about to explain, but I'm going to say it just like every other black boy says it. I have the best mom in the world. My mom is the truth. My mom holds it down. We didn't, like I told you, like, we didn't come from anybody necessarily that we know doing this in our family before where we're at now, right? There were people that may have made positive impact. There were people that have done the right thing. But to the extent that we're shooting for, we haven't seen it. We haven't seen it yet. So my mom, my dad, they have always told me that I can do whatever it is I want to do. There was never a conversation about, nah, that's probably not a good idea, or nah, I don't think you'll be able to make that happen. I had the craziest dreams. I was 7 years old and I told my mom, hey, mom, I want to go to school and play football. I'm going to go to college and play football. I'm going to win a Heisman Trophy. I'm going to be the best college football player ever. But I'm going to go, and I'm not going to go athletic scholarship, because I know that I have the academic prowess. I know that I have the intellectual wherewithal to maintain academically, and I don't want to depend on that. And here I am at looking at several institutions that don't actually offer athletic scholarships, but offer just in the Ivies, just offering a spot at their school. I don't have to. I get to accomplish that goal. So in the midst of some of our there are some of the opportunities where we've been able to build strength and build faith as we pray together, as we talk about our goals and we begin to accomplish them. It's crazy. But in the moments, my mom called me like 6 a.m, I think, after my dad was killed. And she was screaming on the phone, like crying worse than I've ever heard her cry. And so my immediate reaction, as we're both each other's comforters in a lot of ways, is just to comfort her. Hey, mom, calm down. I don't know what's going on, but I know it's going to be okay, because we've been here before. We've cried before. We've screamed before. We've been here. So I know it's going to be okay. And as she kind of unravels the story to me, we kind of switch roles. And so for a while, I'm comforting her. Hey, mom, it's okay. God is going to do something big out of this. Nothing happens for no reason. And then I begin to cry and it switches. But that's just kind of the dynamic of our family. That's the dynamic of our relationship. When I'm up, she's down. Or when she's down, I'm up. And when I'm down, she's up. When she's down, I'm up. So we're able to kind of just keep each other going. And that's just, like I said, the dynamic of my whole family. So we can't forget that my dad was my Nana's only son.
Okay.
And so the pain that my Nana experienced is, if you hear the appreciation that I have for my mom, just imagine what that is like between my dad and my Nana, who have lived 20 more years than my mom and me have, right? Or have had a relationship for 20 years longer than my mom and me have. I can't even find the words, or I wouldn't even understand the feelings that my Nana has had. But just to see her be so strong and to encourage and to continue to profess God's word in the midst of these things has been amazing. So I can't take credit for anything. I'm not some super child. I just have an amazing, amazing team around me that keeps me going. And I think that we take examples like what I'm experiencing, and we realize that it's not me, right? Because everybody has the potential to be great. People are going to do greater things than I'll ever do. It's about who's going to help you get there. And that's the piece that a lot of times we're missing. And that's, to me, that's what love is. My village is love. And that's what a lot of boys and girls and people are missing, is the love piece. And that's why we don't necessarily always get to where we want to be. But I have that, and I'm going to use it in the ways that it's been used in my life to help somebody else attain what they want to attain.
God, that's powerful. And man, it's a real story. And I tried to use a lot of empathy there and show and feel that love that you guys have. And I can feel that power just talking to you that you guys have created. It truly is almost electrifying that you guys, what you guys have created. What I also heard too, Rue, is somebody who I believe in the universe, whether you call it God, whether you call it whatever the faith may be, whoever's listening to this, I feel like there's something bigger than us, right? And that's right here. You have this great love for God. And what I hear is someone who declared at the young age of 7, declared what he wanted, what it was going to look like. And it came through. And you hear these in stories. I mean, there's stories like Conor McGregor who basically said he was going to do this. And within 4 years, he came from being on welfare to a world champion. You know, you've heard these stories of people that just basically make these powerful statements. This is what I'm going to be. And this is when it's going to happen. And you hear this for yourself with getting into the school. What have you declared for Love One? So this is a business that you're very obviously you love. It matches what the word itself, the name of the company matches your purpose. Everything is in line here. What is your declaration to God and to the world that Love One is here for? What is that purpose of that company?
So the main thing is the focus is to end gun violence. And the same way you got a 7-year-old kid whose parents didn't go to undergrad straight out of high school, whose parents weren't the most prosperous, declared that he would be in the position he's in today. I'm declaring that we will end gun violence. Now, whether that happens today or tomorrow, I have no idea, but it will happen. And the way it's gonna happen is through villages, right? Through a bunch of different groups of people that are on this mission coming together to make it happen. And so what does that look like? For my brand, it's about using love to encourage people to make positive and wise decisions. I've elaborated in that gun violence isn't prevalent because of guns. Because you had war before you had guns. You use arrows or rocks or whatever. So people are going to use whatever weapon that they want to use. It's not about taking away your gun laws or anything like that. What it's about is a lack of love in our communities, a lack of love in our hearts, a lack of love in our souls and in our spirits. When you love someone, right, when you understand what love looks like, you wouldn't take their life. Because in love, there's forgiveness, right? And so a lot of times we in our communities, in my communities at least, we are taking each other's lives out of retaliation. And what that looks like is that you did something and it didn't sit well with me, so I'm gonna respond in this way. And the only way I know how to teach you is to teach your family and to make the people that you love or that love you hurt. And so, even if you think about that, people have a slight understanding of what love is, but I think people should be immersed in love. And that's what my business is going to do. We're working to be bigger, right? I'm going into college, so it's a little bit of an awkward time where I can't devote 100% of my time to this. But like I said, my village is going to hold it down while I'm away. And we're going to go into communities and we're going to be there tangibly. And so all of the impactful people that I'm telling you that have positively impacted me are going to affect millions and billions of people because we're going to go into the communities that need it. Mm-hmm. So it's also about keeping my dad's name alive, keeping my brother's name alive, Robert War number one. And so it's simple. My favorite thing is love. And then we have my brother who I love so much. We put it together. We get Love One. It's about keeping their names alive. And that's what we've been able to do. And that's what we're going to continue to do. So that's really what it's about, man. Using love to make wiser decisions. And like I said, we're working towards getting into the communities to positively, literally positively impact people's lives. Now, I will say as well that We donate 20% of our proceeds to an organization that buys guns off the streets and turns them into art. And that's good because it will definitely help, right? If there are less illegal guns that people have access to. But we know that the number one cause is a lack of love. And a lack of love leads to lack of justice. And lack of justice leads to us making those poor decisions.
I appreciate your outlook on it, because I, you know, so I'm a Canadian. Actually, I grew up just north of where you grew up in Seattle. I'm on Vancouver Island. And I get only a lot of firsthand info about the gun situation or weapon situation in the U.S. Like Canada, it's a little different. But I hear this kind of debate online. It's about like, well, it's a gun law issue. And it's people are, I think, are trying to make this very black and white. It's either this or it's that. What I hear from you is it may not necessarily just be a gun law issue, because, you know, you can have laws like you're going back, but war happens. And what the gun law issue is, if we just change gun laws, again, I think we're passing the onus of just having that true responsibility and ownership to our actions and how we represent ourselves and share ourselves with the world. If people don't change that, it doesn't matter what that law is, hatred will always win if we can't beat it with love. And that's what I'm hearing with what this is truly about. Is that right?
That's exactly what it's about.
Yeah, that's powerful, man. Now, going into this, I got to think, man, like, as you're saying this, and this isn't to like knock it down, but this is what one of the first thoughts comes to my head. And I'm sure people probably said this to you, or you maybe thought yourself, is it's like, God, where do you even start? That's such a big thing to end. That's a big goal. That's a big thing that you want to achieve. And it's a big problem in a lot of these communities that, like, again, Canadian, so I'm hearing things, but I was in Chicago in the summer, and I got talking to some locals because I'm curious about human beings as a whole. And there's a lot of things happening just in that city alone in terms of, like, there was more deaths than there was in Iraq, which is blew my mind when I heard a stat like that. When people talk about that to you, what is your response back about where you even start or how this starts?
When you talk about the universe, right? you talk about the universe, you look at something that's bigger than anything. Mm-hmm. And the universe is something that people are still discovering. God is something that people are still searching for and attempting to understand. And certain things like God and like the universe, we're only ever going to understand a very small portion of it. Even for the people that are super amazing and super well-established and intellectual that know so much about the universe and about God, still only know a very small portion because God, the universe are so big. Some of these issues are very similar. But when you think about the universe and you think about God, there are certain things that we do know. You do know that the universe is made up of these elements, and that oxygen and carbon dioxide work together to keep plants and animals alive. You do know that God is the creator of the universe and things of that nature. So you can start with what you know. And I'll start with what I know. Right? What I know is that if there's something that you believe, if you proclaim it and you work towards it with a team, you are going to accomplish it. I've done it. My family has done it. My parents didn't have any tangible examples of what they wanted their son to be like, but they proclaimed that I would be positive, that I would be impactful, that I would change people's lives. They knew it before I knew myself. So that's what they said. They spoke it, and here it is. What I said, I spoke it when I was a kid, and here it is. So what I'm going to continue to do is proclaim the goals, the visions that the village has, and we're going to accomplish them. So that's not a tangible answer for, or I guess it doesn't point to a list of rules, But at the end of the day, love conquers all. So it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
That answer was perfect. I think that answer was just beautiful. It really is starting with what you know and proclaiming it. So as you're talking, and again, I have a tough time believing sometimes that you're only 17 years old, just the way you are and what your goals are. I truly am. I have this huge sense of gratitude having the chance to speak with you. Because you're gonna do something absolutely incredible to this world. And I guess as we kind of gone through your story here and looking to just end this episode, I'd love to just know, like, what are you proclaiming for the future? Because on one sense, I see a guy who's an entrepreneur. On the other side, I'm hearing a guy where I'm like, God, if I was a U.S. citizen, like, this is the guy I would want to be my president. This is where my head's going, right? Just the way your outlook is and the way you lead. Now, I'm sure people have said before, you make a great president, especially living in D.C. And if they haven't, they should. But what are you proclaiming? What does Rue look like at, you know, 30, 40 years old? Like, are you looking to be, because there's a big community push, right, of like my tribe and what, and there's a business side. What is that, man? Like, what do you want here? Because I think you're going to get it. So I'd love for you to just proclaim it today. So when 10, 15 years from now, I can go back and be like, yeah, he did it. He certainly did that.
There we go. Yeah, so first, like I just expressed to you just the importance of family.
Yeah.
The first thing is, or the one of the more important things is we're going to continue to build family. And there are people that are not blood related that have become part of my family. So there are going to be people like that. And then there are going to be people that are born into our family. But nonetheless, we're going to continue to build a village because that's how you solve an array of problems. So I'm inspired to end gun violence. And a lot of my family is as well. But my little brother and my little sister may be inspired to do something else. But at the end of the day, we're all going to make positive change. And the bigger our family is, the more change we're going to be able to make. So that's the one of the bigger things. And we're looking forward to that. But people definitely have said, make the presidential nodes, and it's pretty funny to me. But it's 2019, man, and we have a president in America who is ridiculous. So anything can happen.
If there's one I try not to say too much to U.S. politics because I'm not a U.S. citizen, but yeah. I feel like if I can look at stuff in a positive outlook, what's a real positive thing with Donald Trump getting into presidency is that, wow, anybody can do this. That means
exactly. So, I will say though, even if Donald Trump wasn't president, my family knows, my village knows, we can do whatever we put our mind to. So, but it is funny to see that. But no, we're gonna end gun violence, and we're gonna just continue to build a legacy, man. And God has all the wealth, and God has all the riches. So we're gonna continue to ask God to share with us, and we're gonna continue to share with the world what they need. We're gonna help save people's souls, man, because people's souls are lost. We're gonna, help people find their purpose, and exactly what that looks like, I don't know yet. I'm open to it. If that is gonna look like, being a NFL Hall of Famer, or if that's gonna look like being a professor one day, I have no idea. But I do know what we're gonna do. I just don't know exactly how we're gonna do it yet.
Well, I mean, I think I like that answer as well, man, because I feel like you're kind of talking about the show's name, but it's like, honestly, just kind of trusting the process along the way that what you're doing, if that purpose, like, it's about not so much about like what you're trying to achieve. It's about living into that purpose and what happens through living that purpose. You're not quite sure yet. And I think that is perfectly okay. Because I feel like it's the other way around. People go, well, I want to be a football player because I want to make millions of dollars. So that's my goal. Is I'm going to be a professional football player, Hall of Famer. But you're like, whether it goes that way or not, like I'm living this, and I'll let kind of God or the universe kind of help me, guide me along the way of what I have to do to kind of live in that purpose. So that's so cool, man. So going into it, what's next for you, man? Like, I know we talk about what's next, but like, you got university coming up next year. Have you declared yet where you're going? What does that piece look like?
No, I haven't declared yet. February 5 is the day that I'll likely be making the public announcement about where I'm going to be going, where I'll be for the next 4 years. That's the day after I turn 18. So we can move towards, we can move a little bit more towards, you know, what you're thinking as far as the age, new age goes. But February 5 is when the decision will be public. That's next, man. And I'm going into that just with my eyes wide open, my ears wide open, guarding my heart, and just excited to just learn and soak things up, because I'm going to take all of that back to my village so that we can continue to build. So I'm excited, man. I'm really, really excited, like I said, to be in a safe space, just where I can flourish and learn and grow. And everything's not going to be perfect about college. And I realize that, but I am excited, like I said, just to take advantage of the things that are different than high school. And then after that, man, we'll see where God takes us. Sure, I know, like I said, what we're going to accomplish is just, I trust God enough to know that it might not come through the route that I think is going to come, right? Sometimes, like, I'm on my way to get dinner last night, and we keep missing the turn. And on the one hand, it's why we keep missing the turn? Like, I want to get there at the right time.
Right.
But you realize that once you get there and you're able to be seated immediately, or you get there and you're able to be seated somewhere where it's actually comfortable, had you arrived 15 minutes earlier when you were supposed to, your experience wouldn't have been the same. Mm. But I'm not worried about how I'm going to get to where I'm going. I'm just going to trust God, man. And I've done a lot of analyzing and praying and trying to figure out where I go to high school and where I go to middle school and everything. And all of the prayer and, conversing with my family is always impactful. But I know that we're here now, is what I'm saying. And so we're going to end up where we're supposed to be. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. And again, I'm excited that I had the chance to connect with you. To kind of end it off here, again, what I love about this is it's about the tribe. It's not about you. It's never been just about you. You are just a piece in the purpose of what you're creating with your tribe. So talking about tribe, how do people get involved with you, man? How can if people listening to this today or whenever they listen to it, and they're like, I want to be, that's my tribe. This is a guy that is part of my tribe. I want to get involved. How do we get involved with you, Rue?
Yep. So you can visit me on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can just look up my name, Ruquan Brown, R-U capital Q-U-A-N Brown. You can also visit my business at loveonecompany.com. And, you know, you can find out more information about me on my pages. You can find out more information about my business on our website. And then our Twitter and Instagram for the business is LoveOneBiz. So you can get connected through those ways. And please feel free to email me through the website, or reach me through the Twitter and the Facebook and the Instagram. I would love to converse with anyone that wants to, or anyone that wants to build and add to the village so that we can also add to yours. We're definitely open to it.
Awesome. And for anyone listening, the links to all Rue's social websites are all in the description of the episode. So you can always just click through there as well. But Rue, man, again, this was, I think it's one of my favorite interviews I've ever had to do. You are extremely powerful, and God, I'm just like excited for you. Like, just talking to you has me excited of like, the world really truly needs people like you and spreading this message. And the more we can really live into that love and unity, that is how we're going to make real change. And I think the world has a great leader coming out of DC that's going to help stream this forward. And you got someone on your tribe here up in Canada. I will start to penetrate the Pacific Northwest for you as well, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. That's amazing, man. And when I come to Canada, I'll make sure that we connect, man. I definitely appreciate you having me, and I'm super thankful to be able to share my story. And like I said, I give glory to Jesus and then to my family who has just kind of carried me this far, man. I give glory to the team because they are resilient. They are amazing. And I'm excited to go into the holidays and celebrate with them. So thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, my friend. Have a very Merry Christmas, you and your family. And let's certainly stay in touch. Best end. I can't wait to see February 5 to figure out or hear what school will benefit by having you attend there. So best of luck with your decision making.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks so much, Rue.